Asperger Beitza. Mishilim Peres Derech Harubah B'yotif. One is supposed to drop fruit. Well, actually, not one is supposed to. One may drop fruit through a skylight on Yontif into a house in order to protect it. Mechatzis Peres became one is also allowed to cover fruit with kalim, with vessels, needing the adel because of a drip. Vechain Kadiyayin, it's also allowed to cover barrels of wine. Vechain Kadishevim, barrels of oil. Vinosin Klei Tazel B'shabesim, one has a leaky barrel, one is allowed to put a keli under it to catch the leak, whatever it's dripping out, wine or oil, etc. Masnisin says more. Masnisin also gag that you're allowed to, on the self same roof, drop fruit through a skylight. Ava begag acher osur, but to take the fruit from one roof to another roof, that's not permitted. Also b'sheno shova. However, that's only the case where the two roofs are not on the same level. And Haya Shava, if the other roof next door, which has a skylight, is Shava is on the same level, Mutz, it's allowed to move from roof to roof. Tani, Haya Sham Chalon, Mashlin Der Chalon. If there's a window, one is allowed to drop through the window. Now, it's a little bit of a problem here. The name Moshe brings down from Dosefta, that Dosefta brings that you're not allowed to throw through the window. When it's a window, and the difference between a window and a skylight is normally flush with the roof, whereas a window is actually raised. You know, it's not exactly the same thing like a skylight. It's raised, so I'm not sure exactly if it's perpendicular to the roof or just raised and parallel to the roof, but it's not flush with the roof. So Lieberman, in fact, the Tosefta Kibshuta, the Yerushalmi Avur, brings it down, says that our Gemara says you're allowed to drop through a window, so about a window which actually is flush with the roof, and the only difference between that and a skylight is that the skylight has no pane in it, and the window has a pane of glass or whatever else is in the window, as opposed to the Tosefta, which is about a window which is not flush with the roof, and that's why you can't throw fruit through that window. Okay, because all things that you're also are because of tircha yisera. You can't do any special tircha with it, and raising the fruit through a window is considered to be a tircha when the window is not on the same level as the roof. Okay, so it says Gemara, Am Rabbi Yirmishim Rav said, Porsi machzel sagabi shifu shelvein b'shabbos. An interesting kula, one is allowed to put a shtarp over a row or a pile of bricks on Shabbos, even though, of course, the bricks are not suitable, Shabbos and Muksa. Am Rabbi Shimon Bayana, he said, Ani lo shamati mi abo. I'd never heard anything relating to a similar topic from my father. However, Achosi, interestingly, my sister told me, Amar Li Mishmo said to me in his name, Drat Beitzo Shinol de Yontif, if you have an egg which is laid on Yontif, then some Chinlo Kli, one is allowed to put next to it a Kli, a vessel of some sort, Vishil Shalotis Gaugil, in order that it shouldn't roll away. I will ink kofin al kli, but one is not allowed to put a keli on top of it or protect it. Shmuel mar kofin al kli, Shmuel says you are allowed to put a keli on the top of it in order to protect it. Rabbi Mona, said, uvat shlo yehei no kli no gea bagufa shabetza, as long as the vessel does not touch the actual egg itself, is a special gzera that since the egg is mukta, so even though you're allowed to protect it, you're not protecting the way which actually touches the egg. Now, since that's the case, he would also say here, by the shifuf shelavanim, by the pile of bricks, if you are protecting, you can't put the pile of bricks directly on the tarp directly on the entire pile of bricks. That's be the way that's not directly touching the pile. Tani Rabbi Yeshu said, if you have a beehive, is allowed to put on it, top of it, a sheet in the sun, because the sun, in the rain, because of the rain. Ask more, Makarav Kishmuel, is this going like Rav or Shmuel? Now, this is because Rav and Shmuel said before, Shmuel said you're allowed to put something on top of an egg, right? As long as it doesn't touch, right? Rav said, "Porsin machzelis al gabi hashifuf," was allowed to put the tarp on top of the pile of bricks. So it says more, how is this working by the beehive? Is this like Rav and Shmuel? If so, however, then we should have to have the same prerequisite which we had before. And the Gemara says, yes, indeed, it is going like Rav and Shmuel. Kami lamala, kami lamata, depends where you put the tarp on top of the beehive. It may not touch the beehive. Lamata would be forbidden. To touch the beehive would be for prohibited because we're not allowed to touch muktzah when we're protecting it. However, kami lamala, kami lamata, if you have the tarp which is protecting the beehive somewhat raised and distinct from the beehive, then that's okay. That you can do even on yontif.
When you bring the tarp over bricks of the beehive, aren't you creating an oil?
You have to do it in a way which doesn't create an oil, with it, or that there was already a partial oil beforehand. Right, otherwise you wouldn't be able to allow it to because of oil. But that would be a problem in all these things, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It has to be in a way which doesn't create an oil. That's correct. The Gemara doesn't, for some reason, Gemara doesn't discuss it here. I don't know why not. Abisa B'Shem Yisrael, Chayina said, the next word, mistake, it should be Chafei. So those Chafei Sutos are according to Yushami Mavur, they are the tarps which you use in order to cover cargo in a boat. Also, Tatlan, they're forbidden to carry. Why is that? Because they're miuchah davar aser. They're specially made for the tarp for the boat, and therefore, like muktzah machmas chesron kis, because they're usually not used for any other purpose, and therefore you can't move them. Mitzato haven prison. There was a case where there were traps for animals which were set. Vavan mustarfin goshim, so they're getting burnt in the sun. They're getting ruined. Asin shalom l'rav, so they came and they asked Rav, Mahu metal tlasot. Can we move them out of the sun? So, of course, Amalon also ligabai, and he said you're forbidden to touch them. Yeah, you can't use them. Chashvinon alei, mizginon tlchosoi. However, according to the carbonator, if you thought yesterday to use them in order as pillows, according to which is nice, but then that's not such a big chiddush. But the Amud Yerushalayim Tinyana here on the bottom says, even if you thought about them, Amud Yerushalayim, not the Amud Yerushalayim Tinyana, says here that even if you think about them now to use them as pillows to support your heads, you're allowed to move them. Because we're saying that something which you use a klisha mlachto l'iser, right, such as traps, if you intend to use it for a mutter purpose, like using it for a pillow or support your head, then you're allowed to move it, even though you're really moving it from the sun to the shade, which is forbidden directly. But here, since you do it indirectly, you're also using it for the purpose of pillows now, so therefore you're allowed to move it.
But you didn't designate that before you had to think.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It's a keli. It's not like a stone or a stick. It's a kli. It's a, you know.
Could be used. You didn't have the machshava before.
Right. Yeah. Could be used for a mutter purpose, even if you have the machshava purpose. That's right. For that purpose. So, Mizgan Tchosoy, so Chashvina the lame, Mizgan Tchosoy Roshain, if you think about putting it underneath, Vishay Lacham Matathlu, soon you're allowed to carry them. Tani Chavishal Tevel Shinisroa. Now, what if one has a jug of Tevel, which became bad, and in other words, it's dripping? So maybe keli acher v'nosna tachter. You'll have to bring another keli and put it underneath this one which you have, which is dripping. Even though the chiddush is obviously that this is true, even though it's tevel, even though it's not stuff which is mutter. So the carbonator brings down that nevertheless since tevel, but even if you're masaking it on yontif, it's mesukon, it's fixed, because only this is rabbanon to be masaking it. So therefore, one is allowed to cover it as well. Not cover it, but rather protect it by putting something under a drip when it's leaking. Okay, so therefore, it's a lower, lesser type of mukseh. One is allowed to do things in order to save it. Nismale, what happens if the new vessel fills up, right? It fills up with the wine which was dripping out or whatever it was. So also the new vessel is, of course, mukseh, and because it has tevel in it, which is mukseh, you're not allowed to carry it anywhere. Rabbi Bezira said, okay, so some merits seems to tell us, Shoyzin takon l'mukta, one can make a takon for something which is mukta, latilo shalokadark, in order to save it, not as proper, not the normal fashion. In other words, normal fashion would just be to pour from the barrel which is leaking to another barrel. Here you'll have to save by putting something around it. Ask more about Tani, what about the following case? Alavichana, if you have a basket full of grapes, which is about to be pressed in order to make grape juice or wine. V'amatim shel zeisim, the same thing with a basket full of olives. Shemashkan, so they already started cracking or breaking open, so the wine, so the oil fall out. Lo itam en biyotif, so you're not allowed to take from these olives or these grapes on yotif. Vein tzarech lomar shel Shabbos, and it certainly is forbidden on Shabbos. So it sounds like you're not allowed to take them, either to save them, the Yushami Mavur says, or you're not allowed to take them. In my opinion, I think that the pshat is here now to take them or to eat them. Now, if you're going to say that something which is only quasi-muksa because it could be miser, you're allowed to save it, so why here can't you move them in order to save them if they get in trouble, or or if they get in trouble, or for that matter, snack from them, since the whole problem is tevil, right? So why can't you just snack from them right now? So it says, Rav Chista, afal pish zeh tevil v'zeh tevil, even though they're both tevil, zeh ish lo mukta v'zeh ish lo mukta. One is a problem mukta, one is not a problem mukta. Why is that? Because by the case of regular tevil, a barrel of wine of tevil, which is breaking, so if you're misaking it by taking off Trumas Maisis, which b'dievet works, so then already is roi la'achila, so it's not mukta anymore. But if you have grapes or olives which are half-cracked and waiting to be fully cracked and make grape juice or wine, so then right now they're not roi la'achila. So even if I stipulate that the fact that they're tevil doesn't bother me, they're still mukta. So since they're still mukta, so that's why I can't do anything in order to save them. Okay? So it says Gemara. Tani Nershikova. Now, similar concept. We have a. We have a.
We just skipped Hadam
Rasha. Where is it? Where?
Hadam
Rasha seen Takor Mukta Atilu Shlokadarko. So it teaches us we make Takor for Mukta, not all Mukta, of course. But the mukta of tevel, one can save it, which is not fully mukta, one can save it. It's shlokadako, putting a vessel underneath in order to catch the drip off. Okay, it says Gemara, Tani, we learned Nershikov Matzina Shamdo. If you have a wax candle, or not a wax candle, an oil candle, which got extinguished on Shabbos or Yontif, and its oil starts dripping out, you're allowed to save the oil. Sorry about Shabbos, not Yotzer. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Barachot, Rabbi Shimon, is going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kova Mutter. Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds that if a candle gets extinguished on Shabbos, when the oil is Mutter for the rest of the day, and therefore allowed to take the oil. Because according to the other opinions, once you had it lit, Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshos, it remains also for the rest of Shabbos. Right? So it says, I'm Rabbi Shuri Yitzchak. Lomar elatalo. No, you missed the boat. That which the other Tanoim say that's forbidden is only to carry it. And everybody agrees that if the oil is in danger of getting lost, then you're allowed to save it, even if it's a candle which is actually burning Bein HaShemoshos. For the bottom line, where we permit you to save it, even though it's mukta Bein HaShemoshos. Okay, so there's imagery metaltlin and metzilin. Metaltlin is just to carry it when there's no question of saving the oil in it. Until you're allowed to say, and that you're not allowed to do, it was burning Bein HaShemoshos according to the Tanoim Marg and Rebbe Shimon. But metzilin, to save the oil contents thereof, then they're in danger of getting lost, that you're allowed to do. Okay? Tani, no sting kli tachas del b'shabes, you can put a vessel underneath a dripping drain, you know, like from your roof or something on Shabbos. Mismali, when it gets filled, shofech, you just pour it out, vishon, and do it again. Veinachos, you don't have to be concerned. What should you have to be concerned about? What's the problem with catching rainwater?
This is Yontif for Shabbos.
Yontif. It says Shabbos, but it's also Yontif. It's Noilat, because it's coming down on Shabbos or Yontif. Rain which comes down Shabbos or Yontif, one is not allowed to use. Because it wasn't accessible before Shabbos or Yontif to designate it. Right? So that's why it's the snowfall. Snow, when it first falls on Shabbos, is mukta. It fell before Shabbos, it's not mukta, but on Shabbos, it's mukta. Okay, so it says, nevertheless, they allowed you to fill up buckets with the rainwater just falling and then throw a spill out and swim up again. Why is that? So I'm going to a very interesting svar. Also, so canaros and mayonos are both shaboi tol chutz atchum utol chatchum. They're no worse than rivers and ocean and fountains, which came from outside Chum Shabbos, outside more than 2,000 amos away from Shabbos, of course, because the rivers are traveling, right? And the water is mutter on Shabbos nonetheless. So to here we say that they gave this obviously because it's not possible to make a gzera of any sort on those rivers. So obviously the same thing applies here to the case of the drainage. The drainage pipes that it's like you're not concerned that it might have came down on Shabbos and therefore it's forbidden. It could be forbidden to eat regardless, that's or drink I should say, but you're allowed to actually spill out the baskets which collect the rainwater under the drain pipe as they collect them. But Tani Kami, we also learned that Narotsu Mayana Shabo Mukhutsa Tchuma Tchum. Rivers and fountains which came from outside the tchum to inside the tchum, memaleim b'shabbos let carry fill up buckets from them. Shabbos ain't so chmar biyotiv and certainly on yotiv as well, and that's why here it could do the same thing. Okay, kol shum mishum shvus, anything which is because of a shvus, it's nisid rabbanan. Mishum Rishus, which is an optional Mishum Mitzvah, or even if it's a Mitzvah to do, Chayavim lo b'yontiv. Chayavim doesn't necessarily mean you're Chayav, it means you have to refrain from doing it on Yontif, right? Because Rabbanan Aser them. Then what are the things they ask Mishum Shvus? Because of Nisa de Rabbanan, unless you continue Nisa de Raisa. Lo Olin, B'ilon, was not allowed to go up a tree. Lo Rochin, the Gar B'Hemon, nor is one allowed to ride an animal. Lo Shati B'nei Amayin, nor is one allowed to float or swim on the surface of the water. V'lo mesapkin, one is not allowed to clap. V'lo mtapkin, nor to beat one's hand. V'lo mraktin, nor dance. Elam mishum shus, these are optional activities which are forbidden. Those were all shvus. What's rishus? Which you don't do on Shabbos. Elo doni, you do not sit in court. You don't get married. You do not do chalitza. And you do not do yibum on Shabbos. These are the ones which have to do with mitzvah, which we don't do. One is not allowed to make so many hektesh on Shabbos. And not give a value to hektesh of a certain object or person. Cannot make something a cherem which goes to the kohanim. The lomak beam truma ma'isus beyontif was not allowed to think of truma ma'isus beyontif because that's fixing up. And even though these are all mitzvahs, kol e beyontif on with their forbidden beyontif. Kav v'chomer leShabbos is certainly also on Shabbos. Ain't ben yontif leShabbos al ochel nefesh uvad yontif to Shabbos yontif, so that you can do ochel nefesh. In terms of all the other melachos, everything is also. Okay, says Mar Shfus Shur Shos. You should know when we use the word shvus in our Mishnah, we meant something which is totally optional. When we use the word rushus in our Mishnah, rushus is saying she a mitzvah, which might be a mitzvah. For example, ezu shvushu rushus, what's a shvus which is optional? Lo only be ilan. In other words, it's an activity which you don't have to engage in Shabbos. It's not a mitzvah to engage in Shabbos. It's not allowed to cook a tree. Or in order to ride on an animal, or shuffling on pnei mine, nor float on the waters, nor clapping, not beating on one's thigh, nor dancing. Mitzvah, that's a shvus, which is a mitzvah. What's a shvus, which is a mitzvah? Right? A shvus, I'm sorry, what's a shvus? I lost my place. What? So what's an option which is actually a mitzvah? Lo donim, one is not allowed to sit in judgment. Lo choltin, nor sits about a chalitza. Lo miyabin, nor do a yibum. And on the yontif. Tani, we learned, ain olin be'ilon, bein lach bin yobish. You can't go up in a tree whether it's dry or moist. Says, nicho le lo yobish. I understand that you're not allowed to go up in a dry tree. Um, Kachanot.
I misread, or rather, stuff in the middle. Nicholach
Yavesh, but why can't you go up in a dry tree? And Anu Omin also Dusha Gabi is more of a Shabbos. That's good for saying you're allowed to step on a branch on Shabbos. And of course, you're allowed to step on it. Once it's dead, it's dead. It doesn't matter if you break into the little piece as long as it's not Toichin. Elo Krabi Meir says, well, you're right. This is going to Krabi Meir. Right, Meir, Amar Gevin Shiyoshav, you have a grapevine which dry. The asura is forbidden in Vayna Mekadeshes, that it's forbidden to grow kilayim in a field because of kilay karam, but it doesn't make stuff kilayim. Vayna Mekadeshes means it doesn't make stuff kilayim. So we see that there's such a thing as something which is quasi osir, just like a dry grapevine is osir. So too, if you have the case which we're discussing over here, the case of the dry tree is osir to climb on yontif. Why? Because it's like an extended gzera, just not allowed to make to cut off a branch, even if it's dry. Also not allowed to make not allowed to climb up trees. Or use trees on Shabbos, even if they're completely dry.
Why is that? Because you might tear leaves.
Because you might tear a branch. But the thing is, tearing a branch off a dry tree is really not necessarily the raisa, because the tree is no longer to be integrally connected to the ground. But nevertheless, we ask you that unless you come to actually do it to a real tree. Okay? So, says the Gemara, again, where do we see that? Gevin Shiyovsha, because the Rambam said, Gevin Shiyovsha, if you have a dry grapevine, Asura, it's forbidden in Kilayim. You can't grow in the same field as grain. But if you happen to, or whatever the case may be, so where am I now?
It says a sewer ve'ein mekadeshes. So
yeah, it doesn't make it Kilayim.
So what's it also?
Asur means it's also to leave it there. But even if you did, it doesn't make the field Kilayim. Okay, Asura, Veinam Kubad Dashes Divir Divri. So it's like Greg Mayer who says that thing. That's more no Divri Akol. Really, it's for everybody here. It's all the Tosser. After Elon Yavesh, also Elon Yavesh means Elon Lach. Even there, Greg Mayer, even the Rabbanon of Greg Mayer over there, who say that a Geffen. Romero's had a grapevine became dry. You can't leave in your vineyard. But here would you understood according to him that why, if you had a tree, you could not use that tree couldn't crack branches off the tree. So it says more, but even the Rabbanu will argue with him over there, will agree over here, right? That's what the Gemara says here. Divrei HaKol, here it's Divrei HaKol, also Ilan Yavish and Ilan Lach, because here we forbade you to use a dry tree, lets you come to use a dry and dead tree, lets you come to use a moist and fresh tree. Okay, you're going to tear off a branch, which is like zukotzer. Okay, it's like breaking off a branch from anything, which is kotzer, which is harvesting. Okay, so that's why over here, even Rabbanu disagreeing, so all that a dry grapevine doesn't ask because of kilayim at all, not even the Rabbanim. But here they'd agree because you might come to cut off a moist branch, which would be mamish kotzer, mamish harvesting. Says more, not the dry tree, lest you come to cut off a branch in the tree which is still moist, some other tree other than this one. I don't know if I'm making myself clear.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to tear a branch off even a dead tree, unless you come tear off from a live tree.
Yeah.
okay? Even though kilayim, a dead tree, if you plant a vineyard, I don't know, if you plant a vineyard, not a vineyard, plant a grape, a grain field around a dead grapevine tree, it's okay. They hold it's okay, but here they would ask her lest you come to put a tear piece off a moist tree. Says Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, that's a funny miser. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi also, here Ashi came, and he ran, and he ran very quickly ahead or very quickly to Rav. It's not clear exactly. Bottom line is he ran very fast. Amalei, so he said, so Rav said, Baitos, he said, what the heck did you come to? You came so fast. So he either ran from somewhere else here, or ran back from somewhere else, whatever the case may be. He asked him, how did you come so fast? So Amalei, Bahut ma tamra ta'atikta, I took the shortcut through the field with old, dead palm trees. Amalei, so he said, Man sha'eloch, who permitted this to you? Because in Mistam, you broke branches when you went along, right? There were dead trees. You probably trod them underfoot. According to Pnei Moshe and others, he actually came back with the dead branch in his hand. And Rav asked him, how did you get the dead branch? Saucer, right? But according to Pnei Kormeda, he just asked him, how did you come so quickly? Okay? So in any event, so he says, Rebbe b'shem Rav, Rebbe, although it says Rebbe, it's obviously a typo because Rebbe didn't say it's the name of Rav. The name is missing. The Mefarshim here say, some of the Mefarshim say that it's Rabbi Acha. Rav Acha said that Asur Ladush Agabe's Zmora B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to step a Zmora on Shabbos, a branch on Shabbos. Now there are others who say that it's also liplosh. You're not allowed to pluck out a branch on Shabbos, even if it's dry. So this is Rav's bar. Obviously, Rav said, how'd you come so fast, right? It says more, and however, as whatever the case may be, he's shorshe ilon. If you have the roots of a tree, he kosei akruv. If you have the roots of a cabbage plant, bigvayim shlosha, they're only considered to be separate entities if they are more than 3 tefachim about the ground. Aliena gvayim kishlosha both cards if they're not more than 3 tefachim about the ground. I'm sorry, Mena Goyim Shlosha Kikaretzain, then they're like the ground itself. Now, it's interesting. So what if they're like the ground, not like the ground? What's Nafkamina? So Nafkamina is where they're allowed to step on them. If they're like the ground, you're allowed to step on them. If they're not like the ground, you're not allowed to step on them because you're really being Mishtamish B'ilon. So let's say it's a fascinating thing to think about it for a moment, which I didn't do this afternoon. But now I think about it. If you're walking somewhere and you want to climb up on the branch of a tree, on the root of a tree, in order to get by, you know, I don't know if you ever walked on the corner of Granville and Kimball. Corner of Granville, Kimball, this is really in front of the Adas. This is a really old tree. This old tree, it's
roots are above the ground.
Roots are above the ground, and the sidewalk actually goes between two halves of the tree. Okay, familiar with that?
No, but I've seen other trees like
that. Okay, well that's what I said. So actually, if the roots are more than 3 tefachim above the ground, you're not allowed to walk on the roots on Shabbos. Or Yontif. So that's actually what Rav is saying to him here. He said, you ran through an area you weren't supposed to run.
It was a dove shein on miskabe. I mean, he did.
It's a gzeirat rabbanim. If you didn't think about it, it's a shayke, but it's an honest, but it's a gzeirat rabbanim. You're not allowed to go there. Okay, so you're actually not allowed to use it. Forget about ripping off a branch. Ripping off a branch, you're not allowed to do. Even though midaraisa, it's not also unless it's a live tree. But yeah, a dead tree, you're not allowed to. Even a dead tree, not allowed to do it unless you come to rip a branch off of the live tree. But here we're talking about lemaisa also, another restriction, is that anything which is a live tree, and below, even if it's above 3 tefachim, you're not allowed to use it, because then there's a din ilan. If it's below 3 tefachim, you're allowed to use it. So those branches have, or roots, if they're less than 3 tefachim, then you're allowed to walk on them. But if they're more than 3 tefachim, you can't walk on them. You have to avoid them. Okay?
In a similar situation in Eruvin, was a picture of it where the branch, the root went above the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the... where case. We put it back in the ground. I don't remember the case either.
But
I remember the picture.
Yeah, it's like a knee, like her kavracha.
In any event, so says Gemara, why did they say now to go up the tree? Shem Yishkach Yochel, is it because you're going to pluck off a fruit and eat? Or Shem Yishkach Yarid, is it because you're going to cause the tree to shake? And since you're going to cause the tree to shake, that's why the fruit will fall off. In other words, you're not going to do it directly, but maybe you're going to cause it to happen. So that's how the Pnei of the Karban Eda explains. The Pnei Moshe says that Shem Yarid is now you're going to cause the tree to shake off its fruit, but rather it's a problem of using the tree. You're using mechubar lakarka. You're okay, using something which is connected to the ground, which seems to work out a bit better if you take a look right now. The says the Gemara, let's bring a proof. The Shmina Me'edah, let's turn from here. If you're riding on an animal, you say, if somebody's riding an animal, you say to him, Oimelo, raid. You say, get off the animal. Why do you have to get off the animal? Why is somebody not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos? So, the Bavli says because he'll take a branch. He'll snap a branch of the tree in order. Shami disagrees. Says Gemara, Haya Rochi Agai Behema, I'm a little raid. Hadar Mara is teaching us, Shema Yishkach V'yarid. The fact we tell him to come down tells us that they were afraid that he's actually going to cause the animal to shake and break or fall under its load. Why? Because we've named Amru. Why they say Harucha Gabi Behema? So he's riding an animal. Emilo raid. We tell him get off. Chavrai Amru Shema Tinoka Behema. The Pnei Moshe actually learns Tinoka, the animal and nurse. It's not clear what the problem is, but the Pashut Gear says Shema Tizok or Tiznach the animal, which maybe the animal will fall down. That's what we're afraid. Maybe the animal's going to fall down. You're going to be actually running the animal to the ground, so it's not so much for humanitarian reasons, but shlisas behema. Whereas if the animal actually has to do extra work or exert itself for you, that's called shlisas behema, and you're forbidden to do shlisa anything on Shabbos. Let's use your animal. Now, the Bavli argues, the Bavli does not call a rider on a horse or any other animal a problem with shvisas behemto. The reason why the Bavli argues on this is because the Bavli holds that shvisas behema is only when you have a malacha. When you're having an animal do something which for you is a malacha. But to carry something is not a malacha, right? So the animal can be transgressing a malacha for you. I'm not sure I'm making myself clear.
The animal cannot do work for you.
It can't.
Yeah.
But riding, if I give my kid a piggyback ride, that's not considered to be a malacha. So therefore, the animal to give me a piggyback ride, not pig, a cowback ride, whatever it is, so that's wouldn't be considered to be a malacha either. But Yushami asks the Kodesh Shvisas Behema, because Yushami says it's special. Yushami doesn't learn that it's a malacha which constitutes Shvisas Behema, but rather exertion. And maybe the animal is going to have to stumble under your load, and therefore that's considered to be too much exertion. The Bavli is looking at the Rabbanan. Because Shema Yitlosh, maybe you'll come to...
In the definition of Shvisas Behema.
Oh, yeah, the Ushabi, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the coin, the Bavli, it's a much more literal term in terms of the much more literal adherence to the Raisa standards of Malacha. Right. Yeah. But I think the Ushabi is also learning to the Raisa, though. He learns the exertion part is also the Raisa.
Exertion is a Raisa.
For an animal. Look. Says the Gemara. Amar Lom Rabbi Yisrael, he said, Agat Mecha. I understand. Shoya Hogun, Echa Gadol, What happens if the animal was a big and healthy one, right? Hogan is healthy and gadol, it's big, so it's no shvisas beimo, it has no problems. So this is more no. It's still a problem. Time Rav Acha bar Papi Kun Reb Zira Shani Hu Shu Mitzuva Shvisas Beim Tokomo Yukomo. Now that's a right animal, even if it's a sturdy, strong animal. That's a problem Shvisas Beim. You're making an animal work for you, okay? So again, for an animal, Shvisa is not defined as 39 malachas. The truth is just on a hashkafa level, the 30 malachas are creative activities. Was an animal creative? You can't ask for things for the animal for creative activities, right? So you have to say, it says Yushalmi, that Shvisas Beim is any form of work, even not in the malacha sense, right? Istani Tani, there's those who says, I read the second, and your animals should rest like you. Istani Tani. You know, those who learned to the Braisa, the Yushalmi Beim was allowed to lean on an animal. He's tiny, tiny. Those who said, any shame, we now have to lean on an animal. And Rav Chista Madam, and he's showing you, said you're allowed to lean by Bari. It's by a strong animal. In other words, a healthy animal, right? Mandomar, the Mandomar who says that you're not allowed to, that's talking about Betosh. It's talking about an animal which is weak and therefore cannot support your load. So those said Nishroim Behema, it's not doing any work for you, you're just leaning on it, so that's okay. Those said Nishroim, it's either because you're causing the animal torture, or it's going to have to exert itself much too much in order to support you. Rabbi Yosi Amar, Yispagon Rabbi Bobar Memel Chevraya. Rabbi Bobar Memel and the Chaverim had the following machlokas. Chanam and Nishroim, one said you're allowed to lean on the animal, the Chanam and Nishroim, the other one said you're not allowed to lean. Manamani Shani, who said you allowed to lean? Not when the animal is healthy, but when we start with Sukhai, if you're just leaning yourself a little bit. Manamani Shani, who said you're not allowed to lean on an animal, but Klevish is Kivda, when he presses his full weight on the animal, of course that makes the animal work. Loidi Manamar Dav, Loidi Manamar Dav, we don't know who said what. Since Rabbi Yossi made the same before, I didn't mention Rabbi Bobar Memel's name attached to it. Heavy Duomar Nishoni Bari Ben Nishoni Batashi Mosi, that he holds it. You're allowed to lean on a healthy animal, you're not allowed to lean on a weak animal, because otherwise he should have mentioned, Rabbi Yossi should have mentioned this distinction. Rabbi Yossi said what? One second, Rabbi Yossi said. I told you it was funny. From that which Rabbi Yossi and Saint Name arrived, Barbar Memel, his opinion. So it must be, it just says, it must be that Barbar Memel and Rabbi Yossi argues. And since Rabbi Yossi said before, that, what was Rabbi Yossi's opinion before? He didn't say that before. One second. I'm confused with what the Gemara is trying to prove. If it's surely about names, it's nothing substantial. It's all about names, said what? Rav Chista said before that you're not allowed, that the reconciliation between the two brisos is whether the animal is strong or weak. Then Rabbi Bobar Memel and Chevraya, they had a machlokas whether you can lean or can't lean, right? And Rabbi Yossi recounted this machlokas, right? One to hold, one who held you can lean, will say you're leaning a little, and the one who said you can't lean is one you're leaning a lot. So who's the one who said which statement here? So since Rabbi Yossi, who quotes machlokas Rabbi Bobar Memel and Rabbanan, since he didn't say which way Rabbi Bobar Memel holds, so it must be that I don't know. I'm going to take a stab at it. I don't think what I'm about to say now is necessarily true. I thought I understood the carbonator when I looked at it this morning, but now I don't think I understood it. So now I know I didn't understand it. But I guess what he's trying to say is that if Rabbi Yossi knew what Rabbi Bobar Memel had said with certainty, he would have quoted the name Rabbi Bobar Memel. So obviously he didn't know which one Rabbi Bobar Memel said. right? So since he didn't know Rabbi Bar Bar Memel said, so we have to reject the Rabbi Bar, we have to reject Rabbi Yossi said, because we don't know his chiluk, who said one is chiluk. So therefore, instead of drawing the distinction between somebody who leans a lot and somebody who leans a little, we'll accept the dichotomy drawn by Rav Chisna. We don't know which one, whether the Rabbi Bar Bar Memel said it or not, or whether it's accurate or not, because Rabbi Yossi did not report in the name of Rabbi Bar Bar Memel what he actually held. Whereas we rely on Rav Chisna's distinction, a distinction between a case where the guy, that the animal is healthy or the animal is not so healthy.
Can't you combine the two?
You could, but for some reason the Rishami doesn't do that. That's, I don't understand why. That's what I'm saying. Confused why the Rishami...
Animal,
yeah, I understand. I'm confused why the Rishami doesn't reconcile the two. I don't know. Okay. Says Marvelo, shut the up in AMI. Now, literally in Bavli, it means not allowed to swim. And the Bavli learns the reason how to swim is because you might come to make yourself a flotation device. And the Yerushalmi of War, in order not to make a machlokas, wants to say that that's how the Yerushalmi holds as well. But it's clearly not that way. So the more Rabbi Avo, so Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, B'Shem Rabbi Avo said, Zosimir Tzitzit Asher Aser Lahashi Dover Alicho Me'etzlo. And now I have to put, you sail sailboats in the bathtub. You're not allowed to sail little boats in a river on Shabbos. It's not just you. You're not allowed to put something in the river and sail it on Shabbos. Even there's an air river. It's not a problem. Why is that? So the Rishami never says, but I assume it's because of a tchum issue. Unless it go outside the tchum. That's my hunch. Okay, it's a tchum issue. And similarly, the person cannot bring something in to him, something floating, some flotsam and jetsam, which is floating on the water, because maybe it's because he didn't have, he came to the tchum. Rabbi Abba, Mari, Rabbi Basi, Abba Yosef, and they were sitting. So they saw a certain person separating the waters like this. He wasn't swimming. He was separating the waters like that. So the Torah and Shuri Shari in the back says what he was actually doing is he was clearing little refuse in the water so he can drink it. But by this, he was sending stuff downstream, right? So we just said before, he's not allowed to push stuff downstream. Again, I think because of the Tchum issue. So it says, this guy wanted to drink the water. So by pushing the stuff away, it's no less than, no worse than breaking open a jar in order to drink. Or to eat from it, I'm sorry. So it's like, it's a good comparison, I like it. Yes, in other words, in order to get at food, you're allowed to break something open. So in order to get at food, you're allowed to push away the stuff which is on top of the food, on top of the surface of the water, in order to get at some clean water underneath it, so to speak. Even if it might go out of the tchum, even if it looks like it's, something like of that sort, nevertheless, it's mutter. Now, again, Yushami clearly is arguing the Bavli, because flotation devices don't enter the picture here. You know, if you if we're learning that this all falls under the rubric of not floating stuff, so clearly the floating is not a problem of chavish or shayotin, because you're not going to attach a little life preserver to each splinter in the water. Rather, it means you're afraid stuff is going to go out mechutz l'tchum. Okay.
Isn't sheten in modern Hebrew
yarn? Where is sheten? No, it's with the tof. That's a tof. There's a test. No, this is not shayit, and modern Hebrew is still sailing. Okay. It says it with the test here, right?
Here's
a
test.
Yeah. Interesting connection, but no. Says our Avlom Safkin was now at the clap. Now, Sipuk u'michamoso. Sipuk is when even, the way the Mefarshim explained here, even out of anger. Now, you what's the Kiddush? Sipuk out of anger. I think Sipuk is clapping. One of them is clapping, one of them is...
They weren't conceited.
So, no, neither is the Babli. But see, it's the Sipug Mi, even if you're angry, so there's no thing of Shema Yisagin Kli Shir, right? Because you're not going to fix for a simcha, or even for a funeral. You know, the old days used to play music at funerals, so it might be Yisagin Kli Shir, but for anger, so, you know, if I go, darn it, and I hit the table, right? So I'm not going to Yisagin Kli Shir for him in order to do that better when I get angrier next time. So therefore, it should be mutter, so no, that's a carte blanche also. Yes, sir, you're not allowed to do it, okay? Kamad atam haino, that's even out of anger. Vayichar ab bolak, Bilam says, bolak am out of Bilam. Vayich spoke his cap off, and he clapped his hands in anger. Bilam tapchin, tapchin is to bang a table or to bang your thigh. So tipuach shu uretzono, tipuach is something which you actually, you know, something went good for you. Rabbi Yonachar Chadamar El Chain Tray Velchin also once said that one way it's mutzah, one way it's aser. In other words, one said this is aser when you clap straight, but you clap kilachayad, it's mutzah. Okay? Ever hear that? You clap like that, it's okay? One of them said that. The other one, yeah. Okay, the other one said, regardless of what you do, it's also. We don't know who said what. Since Rabbi Yonah said, we had old men in our days. And they used to clap with the back of their hands on Shabbos. It must be he's the one who said, depends how you do it, whether it's mutter or aser. Rabbi Ava Mesa, Rabbi Shim Berei. This mice is also brought in the Bavli, but I forget where. Maybe it's not. I don't see the Mizrach or Shas here, but I think it's brought in the Bavli. In Erevin? Yeah, I think it's brought in Bavli in Erevin. Rabbi Ava Mesa, Rabbi Shim Berei. Rabbi Tavchin Lachor Yodon. At the chasta for Rabbi Shim and his son, it was the meals and Shabbos, and they were clapping with behind the with back of their hands. Beshubsa. So Avraham Mayor, sorry, Mayor passed by. Mishamakon, he heard the noises. Amrei said, Rabbi Seinu, Utra Shabbos. Said, you guys are clapping, and Shabbos Mutter. It all became Chassidim. Shama Rabbi Chalitz, Rabbi heard the voice. Omar, Miuzeh, Shabbali, or those Seinu, so be saying, who's coming to control us in our houses? These Dharmain, some say, Hachin Amrei said, Miuzeh, Shabbali, Tzaneinu, so be saying, who's he wants to put us in seclusion? Sneus. Meaning, put us in cherem, because now the grand mayor would put in cherem. Or the way I interpret it, tzanenu, without an ayin, with two nuns, to cool us down. In other words, to cool down our simcha, to make us misnagdim. So who wants to do that? Shomer Amer Kolesar, Mayor heard Rebbe complaining, and he didn't want to be caught by Rebbe, even though it was older than him. Varak, and he fled. Nufkin Pire Basrei, so they came out and ran after him. Mi Pire, from running, Afer Rucha Pikalye Malkadle. From running, his the wind removed the his toga from his neck. Kali Ramer, Odik Rebbe Mikavasa. Rebbe was looking out the window. The Chama Kali Ramer Minachor. He saw the neck of Ramer from beyond, which normally people wouldn't see. And obviously, it was a holy neck. The neck of Ramer. Omar said, "Lozachis ona laraisa as only zochet v'teira." It'll begin the Chama Kali Ramer Minachor because they saw the neck of Ramer from behind. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakshtarte and Omen, Debtare and Omen, they both said, Anna Lozachin and Lorais, they'll begin the Chaminon, Etzbe, the Rebbe, mean Kukani, the day it's on because we saw Rebbe's finger come out of his sleeve. And they used to wear their sleeves long for tznius, not to show the palms of the hands. Right, even the men. So longer than the women. So, and since they saw once Rebbe's fingers, that was mocking them. Okay. No? The neck thing is in the Bavli, though. Maybe not the whole mice, just the neck. The rest of it is only from the new Jami, I guess.
He was probably angry he wasn't invited to the chasna.
That's right. So obviously a small chasna.
How could they have this? When would the chasna take place?
Before Shabbos. Reb Aaron's daughter, I understand, got married on Friday.
Really?
Reb Futner's daughter got married on Erev Shabbos. Reb and David, yeah.
It was a lot.
It's much cheaper that way. You make the meal on Shabbos, you don't need a band. No band. That's a lot of things. All right, Dave, Don Marvin? Okay. So maybe we'll just go for a couple more minutes and we'll stop. Tomorrow night, by the way, we have a seam. Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Oh, wait, can you take this to
okay. We will start Rosh Hashanah.
We're going to go to Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. Rabbi Yirmiyah Zeir B'Shem Rav, Rav Chuna said, kibbutz is oker shtei raglav. Jumping is when you take your 2 feet off the ground kachas at once. Rikud, dancing is, I skipped ahead, a little meraktin. Dancing is when you okay achas and minyach achas, you pick one up and put one down. Amrei Blazer said, "Kol mashmi kol surim b'shabbos." Any type of noise, lesson Shabbos on the Yushalmi is much more machmir than the Bavli. This is mutter in the Bavli to knock. You're just not allowed to make a melodious tone, but like with a knocker, but with a hand, it's mutter. Bavli asked, the Yushalmi answers it. Not even allowed to knock on a door because of Hashmah's call. Again, by the way, Bavli, the issue is Shem Yisak and Klei Shir. Maybe you're going to make a knocker, right, to make a sound. So just knock on a door, you're not going to make a knocker. But the Ba'i Yerushalmi holds a specific prohibition, to Rabbanan, of Hashmah's call, of making noises on for Shabbos. So it says, Hashmah Yitzchak Savra Mekusha de Beknishta Chadito. Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak, he wanted to knock on the new door of the shul. So there's another gilsa here that Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak's grandfather was the shamish of the shul, and he used to knock on the doors of people to wake them up in the morning to come to davening. So he was maker. But Rabbi Elam, Makir Shakisi would knock on a chair. Rabbi Ela ani bistidra. Rabbi Ela, however. That's Rabbi Lo, our friend. He went. He spent a long time learning, and Solik Basic came to his house. Ashkun Demichin, and he found they were sleeping, and he was locked out. So he would not lock. Ravale El Suma, he slept on the ladder. Begin to Lomak Shal Tara B'Shubza, so as not to have to knock on the door on Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmi have a Pushin braid Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi was learning with the son of Rabbi Yirmi. Also by Matrasa. So Rabbi Yirmi wanted to go and wake up his kid before the learning session. So he should go learn. So he wanted to go knock him. Recreates the Shubsa Shabbos morning. Shari Mecha Shatari started knocking on the door. So he said, so the kid said to the father, to Rabbi Yirmi, Abba man Sherlock, who had he knock on my door? You know, I'd knock on the door. And not because he didn't want to go to learn, not because he wanted to sleep. Because he held to learn from Rabbi Yirmiyah that Hashemah's call is also. Rabbi Yirmiyah, my kind of boy, come Rabbi Yassim, Ma makshal kreisa b'shubsa. It's when I'm allowed to knock on one's own stomach to make a sound. I don't know what makes a sound, but it's when allowed to knock one's stomach. One way to say, b'cholam an sh'olach. On a weekday, you're not allowed to. Because it's talking about below the belt. You're not allowed to put your hand underneath your belt because it's sneeze. Okay, I'm Rabbi Shlomo Bar Avdama. Nagu Rabbanim b'chole. Nevertheless, Rabbanim had a minute to knock on the bellies of people who were sick. I guess it was considered to be healing. Minatib l'malim from above the navel, b'vgadav. And if he was wearing clothes, that's if he was no, it wasn't clothes. If he was wearing clothes, then minatib l'matan even from below the belt. Okay. Vlodani was not allowed to do a court case on Shabbos. Reb Chisa Reb Achav Sherevel said, also l'dun dini moments of Erev Shabbos. Not allowed even to start a monetary case on Erev Shabbos because we might come into Shabbos. V'amas nisa pliga. Doesn't the Mishnah draw a distinction? It says, v'ya ain't dani lo b'Erev Shabbos lo v'yantiv dini nefashos. Right? Hodini moments dani. It sounds like monetary man is allowed to. The time Rabbi Chia came, Rabbi Chia also taught us Doni Dini Mamas Erev Shabbos, Lo Dini Fashos Erev Shabbos. So Amar Kane, so he said, Kain Alocha Kan Dvar Torah. Be the right, so you can do Dini Mamas on Erev Shabbos. Be the Rabbanan, you can't. They were talking about Be the right, so Dini Fashos don't work on, you shouldn't do an Erev Shabbos. But Dini Mamas, Be the right, so you can't. It's not going to be a true Din, right? but it's to the same level. Midrabbanan, they answered it as well. There's another interpretation that which has to do with the Raisas for being Erev Shabbos, but that which has to do with the Rabbanan is Mutra and Erev Shabbos, which may perhaps works out more glatt, because I don't think the whole issue could be the Raisa not to make a dinner on Erev Shabbos. Okay, let's get to the top of Amr Alf. Vlom Kachin, Rabbo Bar Kahn, Bar Kohen, Omar Kum Rabbi Yosef. Rabbo Bar Kohen said in front of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Hashem, Rabbi Yaakov, he said, also Lars Yishab Erev Shabbos. Now let's make a vort on Erev Shabbos. Now I said a vort, that means now to make the vort to Laris, but to get engaged, Shmu Amar Filu B'Tishba of Yaris, even on Tishba of its Mutter, Shloi Karmeno Acher, in order that somebody else shouldn't chap around the girl you want to marry. Says Mar Chafa, she does the Shmuel, it's Karnshin Shmuel, Tamanu Amar Moshiv Yechid in Baisa. There Shmuel says, Hashem puts individuals in separate houses, B'Mos Naim, but then he puts them into a scale, La'alos Tema, to bring them up, Mehevel, from nothingness, Yachad, to togetherness. So we see Hashem dictates who you're going to marry. So why do you have to be afraid somebody else is going to marry your Bashert? That's a more really interesting answer. Baruch Marachay, says Mar Shuliach Denu Kach Acher B'Tfila. Somebody else can get chap your Bashert if he davens for it. So the Charedim, one of the Mekubalim, who I wrote a parish on Beitza, I brought it tonight, he says that if you are, sometimes another person loses his zibug because he was chote and therefore his pretended wife died, and therefore he can get your zibug if he davens enough for it, and you don't merit it. In other words, you have to work at getting your zivuk, not just work at finding her, but having Torah and mitzvahs, right? So if you don't do enough Torah and mitzvahs, and he lost his zivuk for some reason, so he can get yours. So it's more fascinating thing. It says more, Afilu came lo kaima. You should know, however, the guy who got the woman who's not his bashert, eventually the guy who was her bashert will have to marry her. So therefore, the guy who interposed himself there eventually is going to have to drop dead. Right? He's going to have to die in order that the other guy takes over. Because the gzera of Bashert has to be fulfilled somehow or another. So if it doesn't get filled sooner, it'll get fulfilled later.
That's Kabbalistic.
Yeah, he brings it down from the Zohar. That's Chaim says.
Sounds like Gilgul Neshamos to a certain extent.
What?
Sounds almost like Gilgul Neshamos.
There's predestination, who you're going to marry, because it's all part of your neshama, and what are you going to do? I saw once in a Breslover book, one of those pamphlets that you said about, I haven't seen him in a long time, it said that every girl you date, not just girls you marry, are part of your basheret. You had a basheret, you have to go out with this girl. So the book was trying to say that if you went out with a lot of girls, don't despair, because Lamaisa, that's part of your basheret, that you have many girls to go out with. Sooner or later, you'll find the right one. Okay, we'll stop here.